Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 64th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is May Selvedge. She was raised in Uhmei in the southwestern Chinese province of Sichuan, abutting the Himalayas. May came to the United States in 1997 to study in Missoula, Montana, and has lived and worked in Austin, Texas, San Diego, California, and Idaho before coming to live in Maine in 2010. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, May.
Thank you, Kate.
Pleasure to have you on this summery day.
Yeah, it's really my pleasure to be on at 4th of July weekend.
Yes.
Thank you.
You chose this weekend special.
Yes.
That's great. We'll get to that a little bit more in a bit. But before we do, I wanted to talk about Imei, China.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know much about this region. I enjoyed looking up the pictures. It is utterly gorgeous,
mm-hmm.
mountainous.
Mm-hmm.
It looks a lot like Idaho and Montana and the Northern Rockies.
Yeah.
How would you describe your world that you grew up in to people who have never seen it?
Yes. I grew up really at the base of Himalaya, and the landscape around my hometown surrounding area is breathtaking. But I didn't know that until I left it.
Isn't that the way?
So I was born in this just beautiful natural environment with, you know, rich Buddhist culture in the past. But when I grew up, it was just right after Cultural Revolution. My immediate family influence just shadows me so much. My childhood was really depressed, and it was just feel lots of suffering.
Yeah. So did you go to school in the town where you lived?
I did in the elementary school, but since the age of 12 or 13, I asked to go to boarding school as a way just to run away from the family.
It was an austere family.
Yeah.
A serious family.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And did you see monkeys on the way? Were they really just around? The macaques?
Yes. Monkeys, you have it in the Uhmei Mountain everywhere, but not so much in where we live. My province is mostly famous for two things. One is a panda bear. Another thing is for, you know, if you go to a Chinese restaurant, you order Sichuan chicken, Sichuan beef, and that dish is coming from Sichuan province.
And I think of that as hot and spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how it is?
Absolutely. And very high, the climate is warm and humid, very quite similar to Maine, except we don't have snow in the winter.
And you told me earlier it's about a Brunswick-sized town.
Yeah.
That's a kind of small town for China, isn't it?
It's very rural. It's very towards the west frontier of Chinese habitats, because we are right in the border with Tibet.
Did you have a lot of Tibetan immigrants into your part of China?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you had more contact with Westerners than many of your peers through your work at a German beer house. I wonder what made you apply to school in the United States rather than in Germany or somewhere else.
Yeah. I also tried to apply a school in UK. Really, in the beer house, we speak English.
That's ironic.
Yeah. U.S. at the time, so right after Cultural Revolution, a lot of young people want to go to abroad to study, to work. It's just because we have been isolated for thousands of years. And this is the first time we ever opened to the Western country. So a lot of young people want to go out. U.S. is typically the top choice just because it's it's a variety of openness, abundance of opportunities. It's still a picture at the time then as like a golden land.
Was it as likely for boys as girls to want to go?
I think equally, and Chinese women are pretty adventurous. Yeah, especially being built up the energy.
What were your assimilation experiences like during your first few years in the United States? You've been here a long time now, and I think sometimes people who are new benefit from knowing what it was like and what your priorities were and how you managed to become so successful.
Thank you, Kat. Actually, even though I worked in the German beer house for several years before I came to U.S. and spoke some English, but coming here, the first challenge is always language. It feels always very exhausting. At the end of the day, you have to speak and hear and read all in foreign language. When I first landed in Missoula, my entire life is around the study. And I got pretty much all the way through to 4.0, not quite yet, except one course, which is English composition.
That must have been really hard.
It is. I tried everything I could, but I couldn't get an A on that.
I give you an A for effort. And you studied a form of information management in Montana, and I wonder if you could tell us a bit about your work with Gartner and explain what it is you do as a research director.
Sure. Gartner is the world's largest IT research companies, and it's most quoted by all national, international media like Wall Street, Financial Times, etc. So we have hundreds of analysts who specialize in individual IT area. My specialty is in data management, data integration. So I do or spend pretty much like 50% of my time to do research, publish article. Then I also talk with clients from typically from Fortune 1000 companies. They have their internal IT team. And we are just like a life coach for them.
Ah, so you teach them how to manage all their big amounts of data.
Exactly. How to make the strategy, plan it, execute.
Wow. Do you like your work?
I do.
Yeah, it really makes a big difference in people's lives.
I know. Very few jobs like mine can, you know, I can hear people sincerely say, thank you, you have helped my life a couple times in a week.
That feels good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we are here on Independence Day weekend, and you chose this weekend, especially when we talked about getting together, and you said, ooh, I think I'd like the 4th of July weekend. And I wonder if you could tell me why that is and what your reflections are about Independence Day.
Yes. Becoming an American citizen was not easy and obvious a choice for me. So I got married in 1999. Then I held green card for a long time. I wasn't sure whether I would really want to trade my Chinese citizenship with American passport, because in Chinese government you can't allow for dual citizenship. So I wondered for a long time until, you know, Obama campaign come up. I feel like at that point I really settled down U.S. and I made a family here. I work here, and I have this responsibility to vote, to participate in the U.S. society. And so I choose become a U.S. citizen so I can vote. And so I'm very grateful and very proud to be American citizen.
It doesn't just happen, does it? You know, you have to have the green card and wait, is it 7 years, 5 years?
Oh, Yeah, green card you can have forever, and I can get passport really quickly, but I didn't. I wait until time is right.
Yes, and when you wanted to vote, that was the right time.
Yeah.
Are there any expectations that you had of the United States that were different when you came and saw how it really is?
Yes. I think especially when I first arrived in the U.S., we all had this idea of American being the Nirvana, the golden end.
Nirvana?
Yes.
Well, it is, right?
In a way, yes, because I think in many areas, U.S. is very advanced than many other countries. But at the same time, after I settled down here a little bit, I realized the people, the individual has a lot of struggles too. I just couldn't understand. Like when I first met my husband, he's every privilege he can get. Why would he still suffer? Why would he still struggle and get depressed? And as I go on, as I realize, it's just we are all human, and we all have to go through these processes to find the life meanings, and it doesn't matter what your environment is.
You put that so clearly. I had a moment where I understood something that I have never put to words, which is if you don't have all your needs met, you figure if all your needs were met, you would be happy. But
yes.
But you came here and you saw, well, all the needs are met, but humans still struggle.
Yes.
Ah, that's very beautiful.
Yeah, so when you, as an immigrant or in a poor country, you have very defined purpose for your life. A lot of times your life energy towards, just make a living and, keep family alive. Just survival. But once those basic needs are met, then excessive energy needs to go somewhere. If it doesn't go in a positive way, it will go self-destruction way.
You're very insightful. You're listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. If you're just joining us, welcome. Today, my guest is May Selvage. She has been telling us about her early life in China and her work. And now we're going to look at a shift here and talk about her inner life and her art. May, you were not raised with religion at all, but you've lived in one of the foremost divine Buddhist mountains in China with numerous temples on it. I find that so interesting. How did you find your connection to Buddhism?
When I grew up, like probably most family, over 90-some percent of your family, religion is the poison, as said by Marx. So my dad is really orthodox communist, so that's his religion. So any religion didn't even get on the table. Usually people think the people who devote into Buddhism or anything, people are crazy, they are, needs to be pitiful, all the stuff.
Did you learn about other world religions as a child?
No.
No, not even a conversation about religion?
No, not even conversation.
So how did you find your way to Buddhism?
I ran into the first Buddhist book right before I left China. It's written in English by a Thai monk. So that really poked my interest, since life is suffering, all the suffering coming from our own greed and our own ignorance and anger, etc. I thought it wouldn't make perfect sense, because at the time my life was in one of the low valley, and I just couldn't see what caused it. And after I came to U.S., I started connect with various Buddhist group, and so since then Buddhism and yoga both become really inseparable part of my life.
And how does it influence your life today?
I think it gives me a broader perspective other than my individual stories, my struggles, my companies. I used to work for IBM for 12 years. At the time when I first worked there, I feel like I'm completely an IBM person, IBMer. I was tattooed by that. My identity is everything is tied into that. I worry so much for that. Then through the yoga and the Buddhist practice, I slowly untie this entanglement.
So you're no longer just an employee, but a human first.
Absolutely. Well said.
And somewhere along the way, you found your art. And I wonder how, if you could tell us a little bit about your art and how Buddhism influences your art.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I really see, I always love art and doodle this and that, different media in carpentry or pottery. I really start seriously devote myself to art making is after I moved to Maine in 2010. I didn't know anyone. I struggled to, find connection and to a couple of job changes. And really, I thought, I'm just going to try art to see what happened and just to balance my life a little bit. And little I know, it becomes the mainstream of my life today.
It just came through you. You're an untrained artist, aren't you?
Well,
self-trained?
So I would say self-taught. I didn't feel the need to go back, receive formal art training in a way, because I think I have so much life experience. It's more about sharing my life experience through the art media than learn different techniques.
And you have many different techniques. I had the joy of getting to see some of your collection. There are small wooden blocks with calligraphy and birds painted on them and stamps. There are large paintings with words and pictures infused together. Mm-hmm. I especially liked the one that talked about fortune, good fortune and bad fortune being related. Mm-hmm. And the grief. What's the other side of grief?
Another one is grief compassion. So I've been done a series where I compose opposite concept like holy, mundane, fortune, and misfortune, and grief compassion into making into one word to as a way to transcend the duality of the concept we usually either like or hate.
And you put them together, make them work together.
Yes.
I really like that concept. And you're working on another fabulous concept as well, one about home. Can you tell us about this series that you're developing?
Yes. And this one was because I have migrated to U.S. and even in U.S. I have lived in many places, and since the year of 12 I move around every 2-3 years. This physical home really didn't click with me, but I'm also in the same time constantly searching for the spiritual home, inner home. And I thought I met another artist from Salt. We decided to collaborate on this because he also moved around a lot now, called Berlin as his home. But he came to here to teach at Salt during the semester. So we are collaborating on this project. My part will consist of about a dozen installation. Each one will consist, the lower part will be a Chinese accordion book. In the book we'll have a ink brush painting and my diary, which has accompanied me for 3 decades whenever I move. And the upper part will be a bamboo circle in Chinese fabric with a mudra. It's really, mudra is a spiritual hand gesture and practice.
They're beautiful.
Thank you.
And they're coming along. What's Franz's part look like? Is it France?
Shen.
Oh, Shen.
Shen. Mm. His is still work in process, is still in, and he's planning to use his photography and put in a 3D environment, make this 2D in 2D photography into 3D installation.
Great. Do you know where it's going to be shown? Or are you still working on that?
We're still working on that.
So there are opportunities.
Yes, thank you.
I hope that other people will consider for a moment what they consider home. It's an important concept in immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And even in-country migration. I know so many people from Maine who weren't born or raised here. And what does home mean to each of us? It's something I think we hold inside. And I like your idea that you continually strive to know the home inside. Mm-hmm. And that's the part you take with you no mm-hmm. matter where you are.
Mm-hmm. And our home project also includes a public component. We're hoping to invite the public to reflect what does the home mean to them and how do they find home. And, you know, we will also show a public art as part of the exhibition space.
I love that. We all long to be connected, don't we?
Yes, that's the deepest human desire.
Beautiful. So if people want to see your work, how might they find it?
Right now, you can go to my website, www.meiselvage.com. I put all my work out there. So right now I'm in the process of looking for galleries, and once galleries settled, I'll know where it will be more permanent.
And you've had shows around at Three mm-hmm. Fish Gallery recently, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, and the Mecca Library.
Oh, Mecca. Yeah, sure. That's great. So you're getting some exposure, and still you're working with data, but mm-hmm. you are also developing this whole other world of an art connection.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've made a lot of connections in this art world, haven't you?
Yes, I think so. I'm very fortunate. I feel, very fortunate to have this both world balance out with each other.
I hope listeners will take a moment and go to maysalvage.com, or you can go to the New Mainers Speak Facebook page, and there's a link there. Or you can go to newmainerspeak.com, and you can see Ancient Plum Tree. That'll be up tonight. May's name means plum blossom?
Yes, and that's means plum blossom. A very common name. I used to hate this name so much. I even changed the name when I was in the college. But I think only recently I start loved it. And I finally embody that meaning. It's not a name given to me. Rather, is I live to that name.
Nice. What did you call yourself in college?
Some different words, same pronunciation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but so in Chinese, there's a famous saying, the fragrance of plum come from the bitterness of cold. And that's a symbol in Chinese. Plum really symbolizes the resilience spirit.
And you've put the sweet and the bitter together, just like you've put fortune and misfortune together.
Yes.
Well, mm-hmm. You're brilliant. So, May, you are very thoughtful and creative and a productive woman who has figured out a way to hybrid Eastern values with modern Western practices in your work, in your life, and in your art. And I thank you so much for coming into the studio today on this Independence Day weekend.
Thank you, everyone. May you have a peaceful and joyful life.
We will close today's program with a song May has chosen for us, and I wonder if you could introduce this song selection to the listeners again with the hybrid of the two concepts. I love it.
Right. So the song is written and performed by a Chinese rock star called Xie Tian Xiao. And I love rock because my husband introduced me. But Xie Tian Xiao is able to mix both Chinese Chinese old traditional music with rock and roll and bridge the old and new and also East and West, so that he has been a huge inspiration for me.
Wonderful.
Thank
this will
you.
Be hot linked too if you want to listen to it again later.
Yeah!